Time now for a special ESPN Wisconsin presentation. The biggest games.
Recky for three, got it to go.
The most compelling stories.
Three of the former players said sons were on this particular Monroe team.
The area's best high school sports coverage.
Throws it down with two hands, the whole hoop is shaking.
That's a 10. That's a 10, baby.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a battle in the Badger Small tonight from Edgewood High School. I'm Hunter Vaughn. Here with me, not the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Summerow, but instead it is Bill Kegler from Madison College. And Bill, thank you for making the trek to Edgewood tonight, filling in for the Dean, as we've got a matchup between the Edgewood Crusaders hosting the Mount Horeb Vikings and the undefeated Mount Horeb Vikings for game number three for both of these teams in Badger Small Conference play tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here and excited to watch a good game, and especially to see what Edgewood has in store for Josh Manchester from Mount Horeb.
Yeah, we're going to try and hear talk about the Edgewood Crusaders first as we start things off. The JV game, about 47 seconds left in that one between Edgewood and Mount Horeb. But it's going to be hard to talk about this Edgewood squad tonight without talking about Josh Manchester, because it's kind of like if someone's playing the Milwaukee Bucks, okay, do that without talking about Giannis. It's kind of hard to do. He's just that dominant of a player, is Josh Manchester, especially from three.
Yeah, Edgewood's going to have their hands full, and I'm sure their game plan is set around stopping him and containing him and potentially taking the ball out of his hands so they can have other people try to beat them, like the Jordan rules.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. For over 50 years, Zimbrick Honda's provided the Madison area with quality Honda vehicles. The trusted staff of Zimbrick Honda's used car dealership will save you time and reduce your car buying stress by finding the vehicle that matches your style. If you're in the market for a new Honda or a used Honda, visit Zimbrick Honda in Madison today or online at ZimbrickHonda.com. So for this Edgewood Crusaders squad, they come into tonight at 2-5 overall. They're 1-1 in Badger Small Conference play. And it's been a tough couple of last 2 years for this boys squad here for Edgewood. But starting to show some signs of maybe turning things around. They've got some solid young players, in particular, you know, their sophomore Timmy West, as well as then coming off of the bench, A.J. Ganewick, the freshman guard for them. You know, what do we expect to see out of them? Are there any other players that we should be looking out for tonight on the Edgewood side?
I would say eyes need to be on Timmy West and see if he can grow up in front of us a little bit, see if he can take over the game and command it for Edgewood, but then also being able to step up with his voice and lead his team so they can stick with their game plan throughout the course of the game rather than maybe just in spurts, where younger teams tend to lap sometimes, is the extended consistency of their play.
You know, and that kind of brings me into one of the keys to the game from head coach Kevin Schmatzer in his second year here with Edgewood, where he talked about the communication. So, you know, you've been around the game a long time. When you have young players who are, they're leading their team in scoring, they're supposed to be that leader, but you've got guys that are, you know, 1, 2, maybe even right now 3 years older than them on the roster. How do teams get those young guys to be that vocal leader when they've got guys who are older and more experienced than them already on the roster?
Yeah, it starts in practice with the coach building it in to make them lead by example, first and foremost, and show that, hey, they're capable, and then other people need to lead by their example. And it's not always leading by your voice. If you have a timid person, they may not necessarily be the most vocal person bringing people together during free throws or timeouts. But leading by their actions is really important as well. And it takes a team, so it's not just one player, but it's going to be all of them together trying to stop Mount Horeb, who's on a tear this year.
Yeah, and this Edgewood squad mentioned that they're 2-5 so far on the season. Their two wins coming back on December 14th when they took down Portage 93-57, as well as then December 27th they won against Merrill 62-55. You know, I was looking at their schedule, Bill, for this Edgewood squad, and this feels like one of the toughest couple of game stretches that a team could have. We'll run through it here, where they just lost on Monday, December 30th, to at Lakeside Lutheran, 67-59, so a close game. They've got Mount Horeb here at home, but then they still have to host Stoughton, and then they have what is technically a road game where they play Lake Mills up at Wanakee High School for a showcase up there in Wanakee. I mean, that's a gauntlet of a schedule, and some of the best teams, not just in the area, but the entire state of Wisconsin that they have to play here.
Yeah, it goes to show the strength of the area. I mean, you're talking about some capital teams there in Lakeside Lutheran, who was at the state tournament last year, and they beat Lake Mills, their crosstown rival, to go to the state tournament. So there's no shortage of talent in the area. So they're battle-tested, so that nothing says that they haven't experienced some things to help them knock off what would be an upset here tonight.
You know, for a team then that goes through a couple game stretch like that, you know, maybe that being as early as it is, you know, maybe they don't perform quite as well, but it feels like this Edgewood team could be the type of team where somebody sees their record when we get to March and they're playing in the tournament and you're just like, oh, they're not any good. But they didn't realize everybody that they had to play in the regular season. They get to that first round game come tournament time, and then they shock the world and they win a couple of games in the tournament because they're like, oh, these teams aren't anything.
Yeah, you have to take it in consideration. They see the entire sectional. So the sectional is a very large area, you know, going down to Kenosha, maybe up into the Fox Valley, depending on where they're situated. And so that very well could happen. And the regular season really doesn't matter. You're playing for the postseason. So it could be a situation where they get hot at the right time because they've been proven throughout the regular season. And tonight's going to be one of those tests as they play on their home court. And hopefully they can gain some momentum here.
Both teams are out on the floor for warm-ups here at Edgewood High School. I'm Hunter Vaughn. Here with me is Bill Kegler, as we're getting ready to bring you a Badger small battle between the Mount Horeb Vikings and the Edgewood Crusaders. The lineup at Midwest Financial Group consists of coaches for your financial world, organizing all the players on your personal team for the best chance of success. Behind every great team is a great coach. Let Midwest Financial Group be yours for your financial planning needs. Head to mfgteam.com to get started today on your financial future. That's mfgteam.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. So we'll finally talk about him, Josh Manchester. Wanted to try and give as much time to talk about Edgewood as we could before we bring in the star tonight in this matchup. Coming in, the junior guard for Mount Horeb, averaging 32.7 points per game. That leads the team. 5.4 rebounds, tied for lead in the team for the Vikings. And he averages 3.3 assists for the Vikings, which, by the way, Bill, also leads the team. When you have a player that's doing everything like that, you mentioned the Jordan rules. Like, how do you handle that if you're Edgewood? Like, what do you do? Because it just feels like, okay, great, you maybe stop him from scoring, but clearly he can rebound the ball, he's going to pass, he's going to get open players, and it's just like there's nothing you can really do, and you just hope, like, okay, don't go for 50 against us.
Well, it depends on your coaching philosophy, and Edgewood's going to primarily play man, you know, unless they decide to switch something up and throw some sort of a gimmick zone, which I would not be opposed to doing with a player like Manchester. However, the rest of Mount Horeb is very solid. They can all shoot and make open shots, make plays, go into the basket. So if you're going to give them an advantage elsewhere, they're going to take advantage of it because they're a well-coached team with very skillful players.
We've got about 12 minutes until the opening tip-off between the Mount Horeb Vikings and the Edgewood Crusaders. I'm Hunter Vaughn. Here with me is Bill Kegler. When we come back, we will go even deeper into this Mount Horeb Vikings squad, who's undefeated on the season, looking to their goal is to get back to the Kohl Center. We'll talk some more about that and the history of the Mount Horeb Vikings basketball program and what they have coming up tonight against Edgewood here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. I'm Hunter Vaughn. Here alongside me at Edgewood High School is Bill Kegler as we get ready for the Edgewood Crusaders to take on the undefeated Mount Horeb Vikings. And we talked a lot about Josh Manchester. We're going to talk a lot about him. Like I said, averaging 32.7 points per game. But Bill, who's someone else that we should be looking out for, listening for tonight from Mount Horeb that's not named Josh Manchester?
Yeah, I think sophomore Alex Chapman is a player who's really well-rounded and does everything well, plays physical, and above everything else, he's really heady. So he's going to be able to make those smart plays when the opposing team decides to do something unique to take away Josh Manchester. So he's somebody who I'm excited to watch play a little bit more tonight. He played in the 608 tournament and had a good game there, and so I want to watch him develop a little bit more tonight.
And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up, you mentioned the 608 basketball tournament. That is a tournament that you put on at Madison College, featuring some of the best teams as well as the best players from around the state. And you always bring in somebody from out of state, Mount Horeb, playing in one of the showcase games. And they had a thriller against Lake Mills in that one, 79-76 victory. But, you know, I mentioned Lake Mills and how good of a team they are, and Edgewood's going to see them in a little bit. And this Mount Horeb team beating a team like Edgewood, or Lake Mills, excuse me, they beat Stoughton as well earlier in that week when they beat Lake Mills. This is a battle-tested Mount Horeb squad who, coming off of a season last year, lost in the sectional semifinal. They're used to playing in big games. Their goal is absolutely to be playing at the Kohl Center at the end of the year and lifting a gold ball.
Yeah, it's part of their program. Mount Horeb basketball has been good for a few years now, and it goes back to, I watched Tarek Nesheim walk in, Coach Nesheim's older son, who ended up playing at UW Lacrosse, and they went to the Kohl Center. And so basketball is a thing in Mount Horeb. They are a basketball town, and it shows by the crowd that shows up and travels to the games and how invested they are in this team. And then that in play shows with the talent on the floor. We watched in the JV game with some of the skill, and we'll see it in the varsity game with the amount of kids who are just basketball players.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's always great when you see these communities who maybe a team, they make that one run, and now I'm old enough to say probably like the early 2010s. And then those kids that were in elementary school when that happened, all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, I loved watching those games. My dad took me to the Kohl Center. They took me to that sectional final, and they almost won it, almost got there. And now that's why I love basketball and I love playing here. And that's the same thing that started to happen with Mount Horeb. They had some success, and now it's just built and built within their youth program and continued now as, again, they're undefeated, lost last year in the sectional semifinal to Stoughton. And then Stoughton ended up going on to that sectional final and then losing to a ridiculously good Pewaukee team, who I think, had they not run into the immovable object that was Con Knipple and, well, Wisconsin Lutheran last year, they would have been the one to raise the gold ball for that Division II state title. Am I crazy for thinking that, or is that just they just ran into the wrong team, that Pewaukee squad did?
Yeah, and you know, now they've changed it with some of the competitive balance things where some of those teams would be moving up a division like Wisconsin Lutheran is this year because of how they – so all those things are – if so, it doesn't really matter. You got to throw the ball in the air and play every year. And these two teams, you know, are looking to make that run in March themselves.
We've got 5 minutes until the opening tip-off, so it is now time for our Canopy Wealth Management game plan for success. At Canopy Wealth Management, they believe in the continued development of partnerships for good within their communities and giving back where they can. The team at Canopy emphasizes building local relationships and believe that values matter and strengthen their communities. When you work with Canopy, care, competence, and clarity isn't just a tagline, it's a promise. Go to canopy-wealth.com to get started on your financial future today. That's canopy-wealth.com. So, Bill, we'll start with the game plan for success, or the keys to the game for this home team, the Edgewood Crusaders. You know, obviously slowing down Josh Manchester. We talked a little bit about the communication for them, but what else do they need to do today or tonight to try and come away with a win?
They need to get some easy baskets, playing up tempo, you know, whether it's off a rebound, even off made baskets, try to get the ball up the floor quickly and utilize the space that will create for them to get to the basket and score. And then applying pressure and being physical on the defensive end. When you're a little bit outmatched, sometimes you have to make the other team uncomfortable. And so if they can make Mount Horeb uncomfortable for a longer period of time, that's going to be really important for them. And then, like I mentioned earlier, sustaining their runs. They're young. They don't have a lot of experience. So in short spurts, they can probably be really good. Can they make those moments of really quality play longer? Can they utilize their timeouts? Can they force Mont Howard to call timeouts to be able to regroup and then regenerate some more success out of those breaks?
And then what about for the Mount Horeb Vikings here, looking to move to 8-0 on the season here early on? What are their keys?
They're going to have to make shots because they're going to get open looks based on how they play, and the role guys are going to have to make their shots. And then defensively, they have to take away drives to the baseline. Edgewood's going to look to use some of their athleticism getting to the basket that way. So rotating, helping each other, getting the ball stopped, and then taking the best shot available on offense, which they do every single night, is going to be important to them.
And then, you know, one of the interesting things as from head coach Todd Nesheim, as he was talking about the keys and how to win this game, I loved the quote that he had where he was like, "I hope we can get some easy baskets in transition if they press us." Always love a coach who's like, I hope we can do that. That'd be great if we can do it. Just a little level of honesty on one of his keys for this game. And like we've continued to talk about, the great play of Josh Manchester. And, you know, we've talked about how great he is. And just another level, in case you maybe don't believe us, some of the schools that we've seen that are interested in him that he's been talked to. Of course, Wisconsin, Greg Gard doing his job, talking to a high-level recruit here in the state of Wisconsin. Minnesota, my personal favorite, Marquette, hoping that he can go over and play for Shaka Smart. But then Iowa, Iowa State, and then Virginia was also in the mix there when Bennett was still there. Haven't heard where things are at there, but just a few pretty good programs in college basketball are interested in Josh Manchester.
Yeah, and a lot of Wisconsin ties there, even with the out-of-state teams. You know, speaking about Iowa State being a little more current, J.R. Blunt, who's a Wisconsin guy, is on staff there. T.J. Altsberger, the head coach, who's a Wisconsin guy. And they've had success with guys like Tyrese Halliburton, to say the least, to pull out of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So they know what they do, what they're doing when they look for talent. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up, and it'll be fun to watch him while he's still in high school and see what he can do, because we still have another year. He's only a junior.
One more year still for Josh Manchester. We're excited about it as we get to see him play tonight against the Edgewood Crusaders. We've got a minute left until the opening tip-off. We're going to step aside for the national anthem when we come back. Badger Small Basketball here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison. I'm Hunter Vaughn. Here with me is Bill Kegler. As the starting lineups are being announced, we will give you the starting lineups. First, for the visitors, the Mount Horeb Vikings. Of course, number three, the 6'4 junior guard, Josh Manchester. Followed by number four, the 6 foot senior point guard, Chris Keel. Then number 20, Zach McGuire. He's a 6'4 senior forward. The other forward at 6 foot three, the senior, number 21, Griffin Anna. And then number 24, Alex Chapman, the 6'4 sophomore guard, rounding out the starting five for the Mount Horeb Vikings. And for the home team, the Edgewood Crusaders at 2-5 on the year, 1-1 in Badger Small Conference play. It'll be the sophomore point guard, number 2, Timmy West, the 6 foot guard. Then number 3, Connor Wood, the 6'1 senior forward. Then the 6'2 junior guard, Gannon Bagstad, the number 5. Then number 33, Drew Christensen, the 6'2 sophomore guard. And then rounding up the starting five, number 40, the 6'3 sophomore forward, Henry Clark, for the Edgewood Crusaders. Final thoughts before the opening tip here, Bill.
I love the Bulls entry music for the Edgewood Crusaders to get us going. It brings back some 90s nostalgia. We're ready for tip-off, and you know the Badgers are going to pull out a win, so now here we are for some great high school basketball.
It will be some great high school basketball indeed, as it'll be Wood and McGuire meeting at center court. The Vikings of Mount Horeb in their road black with red trim and white numbers, and the Vikings winning the opening tip, going from right to left as we see things. McGuire between the circles, holds the ball up at his chest, dribbles to his right, hands off to Manchester, right wing, fires up a deep three that's off the front of the iron, rebound rattling around, nobody wins it, and then finally able to be pulled in by the Vikings. Manchester driving inside, he traveled in the paint, So a turnover early on for the Vikings.
Some offensive rebounding from Horub attacking the glass, using a little bit of their strength to start.
Timmy West will run the point for the Crusaders. He has it down low on the far low block, spins baseline, goes underneath, has his shot blocked away by Keel, who picks it up off the deck. Up ahead quickly to Manchester. Manchester goes to the top of the key, backs it out to the left wing, now drives inside. Euro step, right hand, too strong, rebound for the Crusaders. West brings it across the midline from left to right in their white home uniforms with the gold numbers and maroon trim. Christensen over to the right side to Bagstead. Bagstead on the right wing drives into the baseline, gets cut off by Manchester, bringing it around the horn all the way over to Christensen on the far low corner. Clark now to Wood. Wood tried to get it inside to Clark. That's knocked away, but he gets it back on the far wing. Between the circles, West. West to Clark at the top of the key with his back to the basket. Bagstead, right wing. Goes baseline, goes left hand up, too strong. Rebound for Manchester and the Vikings. Still scoreless with 6:30 to go in the first half. 16:30 to go. And our first score, Chris Keel driving inside. 2-0. The Vikings lead the Crusaders.
Edgewood has everybody above the free throw line here looking for back cuts on the baseline, and Mount Horeb is doing a great job of forcing them back to the middle where all their help is.
West, between the circles, Christensen, the far wing, goes baseline, like you just said, Bill, and the hoop and the harm. Drew Christensen with the first points for Edgewood, and he heads to the line with a chance to give the Crusaders the lead with 16:07 to go here in the first half.
We talked about not having lapses in their mentality, and Mount Horeb was the first one by not forcing them back to the middle where their help isn't giving up a baseline drive.
And the first free throw is good. 3-2 lead for the Edgewood Crusaders. 16 minutes to go. The Vikings working quickly, have it down low. No whistle, as that was Hannah driving inside, gets an offensive rebound, and a putback by Alex Chapman.
And Edgewood applied the full court pressure, and like Coach Nestheim talked about, wanting to get some easy ones. It wasn't necessarily easy, but they definitely got a look that they needed out of breaking their pressure.
Bagstad fires up a three on the other end. That one's no good. Rebound for the Vikings. Manchester bringing it along the near sideline under the near wing. Dribbles off to his right, into the paint, stops, pulls up, and the J is good for Josh Manchester. That's his first points of the game. It's a 6-3 lead for Mount Horeb. West on the near corner. Goes inside, has to pass it out. Bagstad up top, hop step into the lane. Left hand, no good. Rebound, Clark and Edgewood. Clark into the double team, loses control of it, picked up by the Vikings. 15 minutes to go in the first half. 6-3, Mount Horeb leads Edgewood. Manchester skips it to McGuire, over to Chapman. Far corner three. That's nothing but net. Alex Chapman with an early 5 points, and it's a 9-3 lead.
Mountain Horeb with some wing ball screen action for Manchester, and Edgewood got caught sleeping watching on the backside and got an easy look for Chapman.
A double team that Edgewood's able to pass out of. Bagstad has a shot blocked by Manchester. And then a whistle down at the opposite baseline there as Bagstad was trying to go back for the ball and just caught the wrist that time of Mount Horeb Viking.
And compounding in there, got a shot blocked and then reached in to try to get it back when he was 80 feet away from the basket. Now Edgewood's going to apply some full court pressure. Looks like a 1-2-1-1, and we'll see if Mount Horeb can pass their way through it for an easy layup.
The Nesheim, who just checked in, inbounding it to Manchester. Manchester goes a long pass, gets it across the midline. Mount Horeb quickly down to the other end, and the layup is good from Hayden Anderson. Delay of game warning.
So the ball went through the net, and he touched the ball rather than letting Edgewood get it out of the net quickly. Just a way for the official to make sure things early are going to run smoothly, especially if the team's going to press and keep things orderly.
And that's one of those things where the NBA level and even, you know, high level college, they're not going to call that, but so you see it on TV all the time and you just kind of forget it as Timmy West buries a three. It's a 5-point lead for Mount Horeb, 11-6, 14 minutes to go in the first half. Mount Horeb leads. Manchester, a deep three off the front of the rim, no good. Rebound for the Crusaders, bringing it the other way from left to right. West, right wing, has the ball above his head. Dribbles down to the baseline, puts it off the glass. That one rattles off, no good. Rebound Vikings.
Mount Horeb trying to control the pace and slow it down and get what they want in the half court.
Manchester drives in the hoop and the harm for Josh Manchester. Split the double team into the paint that time.
Yeah, I'm not sure Edgewood is being real consistent in their ball screen coverage. Sometimes they're switching, sometimes they're not. And I think they need to stick with one plan and not let Manchester have an open lane to the rim.
And Manchester puts that one through on the free throw. 14-6 lead, 13-30 in the first half. West handing off to Gnawick. Bagstad left wing. Christensen between the circles over to West. Working it quickly around the perimeter. Bagstad right free throw line extended. He's guarded by Manchester. Loops over to the top of the key. Goes into the paint. He gets fouled on the layup attempt.
Edgewood keeping their post player at the free throw line and elbows. And he's doing a good job, right, of screening. And that time they got a ball screen, and Mount Horeb just didn't communicate on if they were going to switch or fight through, and they were able to get to the rim for an easy one and set themselves up for a couple free throws.
Bagstad at the line looking for his first points of the night. The first one's nothing but net and good.
So out of a stoppage here, you would think Mount Horeb can set up their press attack and pass through and get an easy look at the other end. We'll see if they're able to do that as they have three reserves in from their starting group.
And the foul that time was on McGuire, his first foul. Mount Horeb now with it, 14-8. They lead the Edgewood Crusaders. Anderson with it up top, hands it off to Manchester. Manchester near the mid-court line, dribbling between his legs, goes into the elbow, skips it to the corner for Chapman on the far side. That one rattles off. Ashelman gets the rebound, gives it back to Chapman, kicks it out for Nesheim. Nesheim's three hits the left side of the backboard and barely got the bottom of the net that time. It's picked up by Edgewood. Oath, far wing, picked up his dribble, trying to find somebody to pass it to. Finally able to find Gnawick between the circles. Dribbles between his legs, over to the right side, hands off to West on the right wing. Bagstad gets it inside to West, and then West steps on the end line. A turnover by the Crusaders.
West doing a good job when he gives it up, making a hard cut, and that time Chapman just relaxed and he cut past them to the basket. Fortunately enough for Mount Horeb, he stepped out of bounds.
14-8 with 12:20 to go in the first half. Mount Horeb leads Edgewood. Some more full court pressure from Edgewood. Mount Horeb able to break it, and then there's a steal. Of course, as I say, they're able to break it. West on the near corner. Kicks it out. Gnawick wing three. And that one hits every part of the rim but rolls out. Picked up by Manchester and the Vikings. He'll pull up for a transition three. Same thing. Rattles out. Bounces off the face of Gnawick. Ashelman picks it up. Gives it off to Chapman. Chapman fires up a three. No good. Rebound pulled in by Edgewood, and there's going to be a foul on Hayden Anderson underneath the basket.
And you can catch your breath for a second, Hunter.
Yeah. That was some fast-paced basketball. And, like, those were good shots, right, Bill? Like, I'm not crazy. Like, those were solid shots for them to be taking. It just nothing wanted to fall there.
I think we need to take a little air out of the ball. Make it a little more friendly.
Go back to some of that Dick Bennett Badgers type of basketball.
Not that kind of take the air out of the ball.
Oh, okay. Well, that's just what my mind goes to right away. Come on, I can't go to, like, somewhere in the middle ground. I've got to go to an extreme.
I love some good defense as much as everyone. I don't think anybody wants to watch, like, a 30-32 knock them out, drag them out fight tonight.
My grandpa would have. Let's put it that way. Edgewood has the ball. Mitchell checking in for the first time for the Crusaders. As he has it on the left wing. Gnawick, left free throw line extended. Off to Oath. Right of the point. Dribbles to his right, hands it off to West. Again, Edgewood loves to work it around the perimeter and then try and find a cut down to the baseline. Oath tries to get it into Bridle. He loses it. Anderson with the steal. Spinning down low, off the glass, and good. Aiden Anderson with his fourth point of the game. It's an 8-point lead, 16-8. 11 minutes to go in the first half. Mount Horeb leads Edgewood. Crusaders working the perimeter, and then a whistle, and it'll be a travel.
Mount Horeb picking up their pressure in the passing lanes a little bit, which caused that travel to happen because the passing lane evaporated.
Yeah, and that's one of those things, like you said, kind of taking the air out of the ball, just a little more patience from this young Edgewood team on offense. They don't have the shot clock at the high school level here in Wisconsin, so you can take all the time in the world to get the shot that you want. Ashelman and the Vikings have it. Down low for McGuire. McGuire right hand off the glass over Timmy West is good. Zach McGuire has his first point of the game. It's a 10-point lead for Mount Horeb. Mitchell over to Gnawick. Dribbling over to his right to the top of the key. Now West around to Mitchell. Right free throw line extended. Dribbles to his left. Crosses over. Tries to go in baseline. Underneath the reverse, no good. And then a whistle. Bridle and Anderson were going up.
Vikings fouls on number 10, Hayden Anderson. That's his second.
Hayden Anderson picks up his second foul.
Number 21, Grimacana. Number 23, Nick
Eibinger. And a baseline attack again for Edgewood. If Mount Horeb can stick with their game plan, force them all back to the middle, they're going to stop giving up some of these layup opportunities and causing foul trouble for themselves, potentially.
Oath down low, and he gets fouled.
Vikings fouls on number 23, Nick Eibinger. That's his first.
Nick Eibinger picking up his first foul. Still a 10-point game, 18-8 with 10:04 to go in the first half. The first free throw attempt from Oath is no good.
Number 40, Henry Clark.
We'll stay at a 10-point game. Henry Clark checks in for Evan Bridle for the Crusaders.
Right, Edgewood can set their press now, see if they can force a quick basket for themselves.
McGuire getting it across the midline. Ashelman over to Hannah. Hannah drives baseline, and he goes through the contact and lays it in. He'll head to the line to shoot one more.
Just what Coach Nessheim was looking for out of the press attack, mm-hmm. getting up the floor quickly and then taking an easy look at the rim.
Returning for the Crusaders.
It was just as he felt like, okay, Edgewood has an opportunity here. It's inside a 10-point game. If they can get a stop, get another bucket, start to put some pressure on to Mount Horeb. But then Hannah getting the picking or drawing a foul that time, and then a turnover by the Crusaders coming off of that missed free throw.
Looking to push the ball up the floor a little too fast. You know, a little bit of an Aaron pass. We'll call it Aaron Rodgers-esque at this point.
Definitely Aaron Rodgers of now, not Aaron Rodgers of 4 or 5 years ago. McGuire gets it inside to Hannah on the far low block, but he has it stripped away. Edgewood able to pick it up and get it off to West, who brings it across the midline from left to right. 9:30 to go in the first half. 20-19 lead, Mount Horeb on top of Edgewood. Gnawick with a jab step on the far wing. Now gives it off to West. West wanted a screen for a moment, then doesn't take it. Oath handing off to Mitchell at the top of the key. Now Gnawick on the far wing. Driving inside. Left hand finger roll is good for A.J. Gnawick. The freshman guard averaging 11 points per game. That's his first points of the night. And now a steal picked up by West and the Crusaders. They have a 3-on-2. West, Euro step, and gives it off to Gnawick. Through the contact and lays it in.
And Edgewood sticking with their press. It doesn't always lead to something, but every once in a while they're going to get a flurry of activity like they just did now. Get a bucket, get a turnover, and a pinch for the old-fashioned three-point play.
And now Josh Manchester and the starters coming back in as it's a 7-point game with 8:54 to go in the first half. So Todd Nessheim saying, you know what, let's get this back up to that double-digit spot. Let's get the starters back in here.
I think more so it's let's just take care of the basketball here.
Okay.
We'll make it our lives a little bit easier.
Yeah, the last thing you want in a game where Mount Horeb expected to win this one, being 7-0, you want to see – you don't want this to be a pressure-filled game, as now Mount Horeb turning it over on back-to-back possessions. There's a travel.
Yeah, seems in my coaching bias, that's a makeup call from a previous missed travel, but we'll go with a legitimate travel there.
Crusaders with the ball. Gnawick on the near wing. Off to Mitchell. Around to Oath. Far free throw line extended. Back to Mitchell. Mitchell guarded by Manchester. Gets cut off. Has to give it off to Gnawick. We're down to 8:20 to go in the first half. It's a six-point game. Mount Horeb on top. They had an 11-point lead at one point. Mitchell goes inside, threw some contact, and he traveled, took that extra step. Would have counted in the NBA, but they're not going to count it at the high school level.
Yeah, the Luka Doncic gather step's not working at Edgewood tonight.
What are your feelings on the gather step, as I use air quotes?
The NBA is an entertainment system, so I understand why they have it.
There's another turnover by Mount Horeb. Just caught the turnover bug here the last 2 minutes or so of game time for Mount Horeb, and you can see some of the frustration starting to build a little bit. As Mount Horeb takes a timeout, that's their first timeout.
And it's been inconsistent, which is a good thing, I guess, for Mount Horeb. It hasn't always been a travel. That time it was an illegal moving ball screen, which caused a stop in the action. So you'd rather have a dead ball turnover where they have to take the ball to bounce to your defense set rather than a live ball turnover where you hand it to them and they're going the other way with an advantage.
We're going to take a quick – or excuse me, we won't be. That was only a 30-second timeout. Thought that was gonna that was a full timeout. That's what I get, Bill, for not looking for the signal. As we do that, so we're going to keep it right here with 8 minutes to go in the first half. 20-14 lead for Mount Horeb, but again, this was a double-digit lead for the Vikings not too long ago, but a number of turnovers. We've seen some travels and some steals then happening, and Edgewood a chance to just make this a tighter game than I think Mount Horeb expected, as Chris Keel pokes the ball away and out of bounds. Chris Keel, the all-conference wide receiver and defensive back for Mount Horeb, also the best defensive player for the Vikings on this basketball squad, poking the ball away. Stays with Edgewood.
Edgewood running a nice elevator set out of the timeout there just to kind of vary their action away from their four-high, one-in look they're accustomed to.
Now Max Faust checking in, and the steal taken away. Manchester driving in, and he's fouled on a layup attempt. He'll head to the line to shoot two.
Crusader foul, side number 12.
And Caleb Oath picking up his first foul. Fourth team foul for the Crusaders.
And the last thing you want to do is give a great scorer like Manchester two easy free throws to get himself in a little bit more of a rhythm. I wouldn't be surprised if next time down the court we see him pull it from a little bit deeper, as he feels good seeing the ball go through the rim here twice probably.
And that's up to his sixth point now, averaging 32 a game.
I jinxed him.
Yep. It's the broadcaster jinx. The worst thing you can say is either, yeah, he's perfect from the line so far, or, you know, he's really playing well right now.
Yeah, I'll wear that one.
His first team eight.
Now Edwards in the bonus. We're going to have a free throw fest the rest of the first half.
Line for the Crusaders is number 12, Caleb Oath.
You know, that's one way, like you said earlier, Bell, to take the air out of the ball, quote-unquote. It's just have a lot of free throws, right?
Yeah, I was more so taking, let's get the needle out and get the ball air out of the ball so we can let the ball bounce around the rim and go in. But if this is what it takes for Edgewood to keep the game close and keep scoring at the free throw line, they're going to take it.
Now a 21-16 score. Mount Horeb leading after the free throw. Manchester with it for Mount Horeb. Going quickly, McGuire lays it in. So after some struggles with the full court press from Edgewood, a quick bucket for Mount Horeb, then a ball knocked out of bounds off the hand of Griffin Hanna, stays with Edgewood.
And Mount Horeb made an adjustment, put their best player in the middle of the press, which allowed him to play make and get an easy layup for a teammate.
7-14, inbound to Mitchell, and Mitchell goes up, lays it in and good, and gets fouled in the process.
Mount Horeb just fell asleep. It was a sideline out of bounds play and just had a streaking Crusader going to the basket. Nobody recognized him until Manchester was too late. Picked up his first foul. Will Edgewood make an adjustment here on their press to stop allowing Mount Horeb to pass through it for layups? We'll see what they can put on after hopefully a make free throw if I can jinx them again.
And you did. The second time Bill Kegler jinxed someone as the free throw is no good. It's a 5-point game, 7 minutes to go in the first half, 23-18. Mount Horeb leads Edgewood. Manchester crosses over. Fadeaway three, nothing but net, and good for Josh Manchester. He's up to 9 points of the 26 for the Vikings, and then the other way is a travel by Mitchell, so it goes back to the Vikings.
Hey, I'm an equal opportunity jinxer. One for each side.
You know, it's like the refs have the makeup calls. You jinx somebody on one side, you've got to jinx them on the other side too. Manchester right hand layup no good. McGuire gets the rebound for the Vikings. Chapman left to the point. Keel now. Back to Manchester, right wing, holds the ball at his chest, now dribbles between his legs. Double team coming. He's able to pass out of it. Gets it to Hanna. Hanna goes down low and off the glass, and good for Griffin Hanna. And it's back to a double-digit lead, 28-18, 6:18 to go in the first half. And then a steal from Hanna. Hanna driving. Right hand is good. Griffin Hanna quickly up to 6 points, and a little bit of a collision then underneath the basket with Hanna and Mitchell on that fast break, both of them getting up.
Mitchell was contesting the layup and ran into the mat on the wall, which is not very forgiving.
No, they have those mats there. It's more forgiving than the brick wall that's behind it, but still not the world's most soft landing.
Yeah, they don't have those in American Gladiators to cushion your fall.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much.
Those are there just for the insurance. Make sure nobody gets in trouble.
Gladiators wasn't on your bingo card tonight, though.
It was not. I definitely did not have an American Gladiator reference on the bingo card. 30-18, Vikings lead the Crusaders. Manchester spinning into the paint, goes up through the contact. No foul called, but he lays it in. Manchester up to 11 points now. And he gets a steal. Manchester feeling it now, and the fast break is good for Josh Manchester, and there's a timeout on the floor. We're going to take one, too. Suddenly it's a 34-18 lead for Mount Horeb with 5:31 to go in the first half. When we come back, we'll see if the Edgewood Crusaders can respond to this Josh Manchester spurt on ESPN Madison. I got some good friends that live down the street. Stoughton Health provides trusted care close to home. They're proud to support all of the area's student-athletes and wish them all the best this season, from rehab to ortho care. Stoughton Health provides comfort and convenience locally. Visit stoughtonhealth.com to learn more. 34-18, Mount Horeb suddenly leading the Edgewood Crusaders. It was down to a 6-point game at one point here, and then all of a sudden Josh Manchester just took over for the Mount Horeb Vikings. Edgewood has the ball, working around the perimeter like they like to do. Gnawick on the right wing goes into the corner, passes out of a double team, off to Oath at the top of the key. Oath gives it off for Wood. Wood now to West on the far wing. Goes inside against Keel, kicks it out for Wood, and then Wood has the ball knocked away by Hanna, and it goes out off of Mount Horeb, so it'll stay with the Crusaders for 50 to go. Now Christensen checking in for Edgewood. West will be inbounding in the near corner along the baseline. Gets it into Gnawick on the right wing. He's guarded by Chapman. Circles to the top of the key. gives it off to Oath. Oath skips it to the near side for West. West drives baseline, gets cut off, has to pass it off, and then a block from behind. They're going to call the foul. And that'll be on the shot, so it'll be shooting two. That's on Josh Manchester.
And he picks up his second foul with 4.5 minutes left here in the first half. He'll likely come out and sit the rest of the first half. So it'll be interesting to see what happens now with Mount Horeb. They went on their run when the ball was in his hands, making plays in the middle of the court, not only for himself but his teammates. So as he goes to the bench, where is the offense from Mount Horeb going to come to? And can Edgewood create some turnovers to try to generate some easy offense for themselves?
Drew Christensen hits on the first free throw, can't convert on the second one. 34-19, Mount Horeb leads with 4:30 to go in the first half. Ball's knocked out of bounds off of Edgewood, stays with Mount Horeb. And Chris Keel will inbound on the near sideline. Gets it inside for Chapman, skips it back to Keel on the near wing, over to the corner. And it's Nesheim. Nesheim, Brent circles around to the top of the key. Now Chapman, left free throw line extended, skips it to the paint for Keel. Keel inside to McGuire, and McGuire through some contact, goes strong to the hoop and puts it in. Zach McGuire up to 6 points. It's a 36-19 lead.
Second time out of a timeout, Mount Horeb has run that set to get a pin right at the front of the rim for McGuire.
McGuire is just such a strong physical body that it's hard to try and defend him if you're any team, really, but especially the undersized Crusaders, who miss and a rebound for the Vikings. Chapman on the far wing. Looks like a moving screen, I believe, that time on Chris Keel. And that's his second foul, so Keel will head to the bench. Owen Ashelman will check in for the Vikings. So both Keel and Manchester with two fouls sitting on the bench for Mount Horeb with 3:40 to go, and it's a 36-19 lead for the Vikings over the Crusaders. West, right wing. Crossing over, goes inside. The ball is kicked. Still waiting for a call, and they're going to say it was off of the Crusaders. And both you and I think, agree there, Bill. From our vantage point, that definitely looked like the right call.
Yeah, Cam Nesheim did a good job taking away the baseline, and Timmy West tried to force it to the middle and kicked it off his heel out of bounds.
Again, some more full-court press coming from the Crusaders. Chapman brings it across the midline, tries to get it inside, able to be picked up by Hannah after a deflection. Out to Chapman, the three off the front iron, no good. Rebound Edgewood. Gnawick bringing it across the center line from left to right in their white home uniforms. He'll take it himself inside, and A.J. Gnawick with the lay-in. 15-point lead for the Vikings.
And Edgewood pulling their pressure back to more of a half-court pressure now, which in the past, you know, they get an easy bucket, they can create another quick turnover, but Mount Horeb's handling it here.
Mount Horeb working the ball around the perimeter. Nesheim passes inside to Hannah. Hannah was open and off the glass and good. Hannah with 8 first half points, 17-point lead, 2:30 remaining in the first half. It's going to be off of the leg of Mount Horeb, so it stays with Edgewood after Christensen was trying to get to that baseline again and got tripped up. West will be inbounding on the baseline on the near side, gets it into Bagstad. Christensen, right of the point, ball over his head. Working it around, West corner three, that one too strong off the back iron. Long rebound picked up by Mount Horeb, and then a whistle. Drew Christensen picks up his second foul. Just the fifth team foul, though, for Mount Horeb, or excuse me, for Edgewood.
Yeah, so we're not seeing free throws both ways yet, but we're there. But only 2:15 left in the half. We won't get there. And Edgewood was in zone last possession, gave up a layup. They went back to their man-to-man defense here.
With 2 minutes to go, trailing by 17, Mount Horeb has the ball, leading by 17 to the Edgewood Crusaders. Ashelman working it around Nesheim. Nesheim drives in, kicks it out. Ashelman, wing three. That one's nothing but net. and good. Owen Ashelman, his first points of the night. It's a 20-point lead for Mount Horeb. And then West stumbling down, turnover, and picked up by the Vikings.
The Vikings going to eat some clock here, make sure they get a good look.
They're down to 90 seconds to go in the first half, leading by 20. Nesheim, right wing, fakes the three, now gives it off to McGuire on the far corner. McGuire crosses over, kicks it out for a corner three to Nesheim. Rebound pulled in by Ashelman and the Vikings. They'll keep it down to a minute 10 to go, leading by 20. Nesheim loses it, picked up by McGuire, back to Nesheim, right wing.
They are now stuck in the right corner.
There's a reason I didn't change up where the ball was, really. They just kept passing it from the wing to the corner, the wing to the corner. They couldn't get anything coming back to the middle of the floor. It's a minute six to go in the first half. 41-21. Mount Horeb leads Edgewood. Nesheim will be the one inbounding on the far sideline. Gets it into Ashelman into the backcourt.
Ashelman's provided a spark here off the bench for them the last few minutes, getting the offensive rebound and hitting a three-pointer.
Especially with Josh Manchester being on the bench with those two fouls. You talked about they needed somebody to get things going. There's a block by Edgewood, picked up by the Crusaders, down to 45 seconds to go. Faust gets it to Clark in the paint. Backs his man down, high off the glass, no good. Rebound rattles around, and it goes out off of a Crusader's leg. It'll go to the Vikings with 37.8 seconds to go and a 20-point lead for Mount Horeb. Nesheim jogging across the midline. Gives it to Eibinger. Back to Nesheim. We're down to 20 seconds to go. Nesheim being harassed by Bagstad. Loses it for a second. Had to pick up his dribble. Gives it off to McGuire, who gives it right back to Nesheim between the circles. Skip pass to the elbow. Stolen away by Oath. Oath driving inside through some contact. He doesn't make the layup, but he'll head to the line to shoot two with 6.7 seconds to go in the first half.
And I shall say nothing about free throws here, Hunter.
Yep, don't even mention it. There's nothing to talk about. And it's nothing but net and good for Caleb Oath. The foul that time was on number five, Cal Odgers.
So you'd hope Edgewood to have a little bit of pressure here just to make the clock start quickly as Mount Horeb looks to have some sort of action set up to get a good look.
Oath hits the second one, 41-23, down to 4 seconds left. Eibinger fires up a three. That's off the left iron. No good. Rebound for Christensen. And at the end of the first half, it is a 41-23 lead for the Mount Horeb Vikings on top of the Edgewood Crusaders. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get some first half stats as well as talk about what happened in the first half and what Edgewood needs to do to cut into this lead of the Mount Horeb Vikings. I'm Hunter Vaughn. With me is Bill Kegler. This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison. To 23 or score at the half. The Mount Horeb Vikings leading the Edgewood Crusaders in this one as we look at some of the first half scoring numbers. Leading the scoring for the Edgewood Crusaders with 7 points in the first half was A.J. Gnawick, the freshman guard, followed by a four-point first half from Drew Christensen, and then a pair of players with 3 points with Caleb Oath as well as Timmy West. And then on the other side for the Mount Horeb Vikings, Josh Manchester leading the way with 13 points. Not really surprised on that number, Bill, as well as then with 8 points was Griffin Hanna, and then with 6 was Zach McGuire. You know, one of the surprising ones, though, for the scoring in this first half, we talked about, Bill, Timmy West, the point guard for the Edgewood Crusaders, needing to be somebody that they kind of rely on. He's a sophomore point guard, averages 17 points per game, but only 3 points in that first half.
Yeah, Mount Horeb lost track of him once with trying to force him middle, and he got loose on a baseline, and they got a little bit of momentum from that basket. But for the most part, Mount Horeb has done a good job with Edgewood's offense having everyone above the free throw line. There's no space up there. All the space is to the baseline, so they're keeping him away from that area. And then additionally, when there has been turnovers for Mount Horeb, they've been dead ball turnovers, so he hasn't been able to get out and transition in space that he likes to go score.
And that has caused him to have just the 3 points at the half. Again, 41-23 is the score here at the half between the Mount Horeb Vikings and the Edgewood Crusaders, with Mount Horeb on top. Zimbrick Honda has been a part of the Madison community since 1973. Their customer service is second to none, and you can experience it for yourself at two convenient Madison service locations on Fish Hatchery Road and Grand Canyon Drive. From simple maintenance to expert repairs, Honda-certified technicians handle it all. Need new tires? For a limited time at Zimbrick Honda, you can buy three tires and get the fourth for just $1 bill. Such a good deal.
I recently did that.
Perfect. And I'm assuming great service, too?
Yeah, that's where I buy all my vehicles.
Perfect. You can shop local. You need to shop Zimbrick Honda. We've got about 3 minutes here left at the half. Again, 41-23 our score. The Mount Horeb Vikings on top of the Edgewood Crusaders. When we come back, we'll have second half action here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison. Second half action about to begin here from Edgewood High School as the Edgewood Crusaders trail the Mount Horeb Vikings 41-23. The clock has started, so a little bit confused here, and the ball has not been inbounding. We've still got music playing. The clock is going. There's all sorts of things going on, Bill. The clock has stopped now. Now we still just have the music going.
Hopefully that will be an entertaining second half. We could have the music on. I'd be fine with that little NBA environment.
Yeah, I do think that would be super fun if a high school were go with the NBA environment route and have some music playing, have sound effects going the whole time. Just add to the environment.
Sounds like one of our favorite high school basketball tournaments.
It does. It sounds a little similar to that. Maybe
nice
like
job.
The 608.
Edgewood going, passing through the high post to start getting a backdoor cut to get their second half started. A good start for them.
There's Connor Wood laying it in, 41-25 now. As the team switch direction, Chris Keel, the point guard for Mount Horeb, going from left to right in their road black uniforms, gets it inside to McGuire. McGuire with the turnaround jumper, no good. Rebound for the Crusaders. Christensen spinning inside. Felt some contact, just kind of threw the ball up to get it somewhere near the basket.
Get yourself to the free throw line and get two easy shots. I love it. And both teams going inside to start the second half. Good plan of attack, and hopefully draw some fouls for Edgewood and get some easy free throws and chip into this lead. And hopefully with about 3 minutes left, have it pretty close to even.
Christensen now up to 5 points. And the second one is good. 41-27. Seeing some more pressure from Edgewood. After the made free throws, McGuire on the right wing goes cross court. Manchester, far corner three, and it's nothing but net. Just such a good-looking jump shot for Josh Manchester, and you can't give him any space because he's going to put it up, and most likely he's going to make it.
Yeah, it's hard if you lose him on the backside because he's more often than not going to knock it down and make you pay for not having a lot of good ball pressure.
West tried to go baseline against Keel, and that got knocked out of bounds by Chris Keel. Excuse me, that's a foul on Keel.
Yeah, he threw his hips at West as he went past him and knocked him off of his line.
Keel's going to stay out there with three fouls. He's guarding West again. West gets it inside to Clark on the near low block. Clark tried to spin baseline and go off the glass. No good. Rebound for the Vikings.
And Edgewood has moved their post player to the low block rather than the high post.
And Manchester switches hands mid-air and lays it in. Suddenly, Josh Manchester up to 5 points in the half. He's up to 18 on the evening. Christensen fires up a corner three. No good. Long rebound pulled in by the Crusaders. They'll maintain it down by 19, 46 to 27. 16 minutes to go in the second half. Ball's knocked out of bounds off of Chapman. It'll stay with the Crusaders. And now Chris Keel heads to the bench. Checking in is Owen Ashelman. And you mentioned it in the first half, Bill. Ashelman coming in off the bench for Chris Keel when he had two fouls and brought some needed energy to the team when you had both Manchester and Keel sitting on the bench because of some early foul trouble.
Timeout, Crusaders.
And the timeout by Edgewood with 15:59 to go in the game. 46-27 is our score. We'll take a 30-second timeout as well. This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison. Coming out of the timeout, the Crusaders inbound to Bagstead on the far wing. Off to West. West driving on Hannah, and then West steps on the baseline and turns it over. So the frustrating evening for West continues.
They have a bench warning on Coach Schmatzer of Edgewood. He was very animated as he felt there should have been a foul called on that baseline drive. And there was some contact, but it might have been a good call. And the official doing his job of making sure he keeps the coaches under control. We don't want anybody to get a technical foul. It's unneeded.
Yeah, and one of those where you've got that little bit of a hip check when somebody's driving the baseline, and then maybe a little bit of a soft foul is called against Edgewood. But I was going to say, it also seemed like that was almost simultaneous of when West stepped out and there was the contact. So it's kind of one of those, you could kind of pick which one you want to give, the turnover or the foul. And they saw the turnovers. Then there was a foul in the first one on Connor Wood, was called. Vikings with the ball. They have it in the front court. Chapman tried to get it off to Hannah. Hannah tries to pick it up. He loses it. Turnover. And quickly the other way is Wood. He can't convert. West gets the rebound, but then loses control of it. Picked up by the Vikings. Vikings trying to work quickly now. Chapman onto the far wing. Hands off for Manchester. Thought about the three, but he's guarded too closely, so he backs it back out to Chapman. Chapman circling all the way down to the baseline. Skips it back outside to Manchester. Far left wing, guarded by West. Spinning into the middle. Cradles the ball, goes up, no good. Rebound for Clark and the Crusaders. Up ahead to West. West crosses the midline from right to left. He drives inside, and then a whistle and a foul on the floor is called.
So something we talked about in the pregame with getting out in transition for West and having more space. He was able to actually drive through the lane lines there to get to the basket and drew a foul.
Checking in for Vikings is number two.
And that is the third foul this half for Edgewood. And that's the second foul on Griffin Hanna. West inbounding on the far baseline. Spinning inside is Bagstead. Can't get the floater to go. Rebound for the Vikings. That was Anderson pulling it down. Manchester fires up a deep three. That one's off the back iron. No good. Rebound Bagstead. Going quickly. Kicks it out to West in the far corner. Mid-range jumper. That's nothing but net and good. Timmy West gets his second score, and he has 5 points on the night. 46-29, 14-20 to go in the game. Long cross-court pass to Hannah on the far corner. And then he goes cross-court to Manchester to the near corner. Drives inside, gets double-teamed, puts up a shot. It's no good off the front iron. It goes out of bounds off of Edgewood. He'll stay with the Vikings.
Number 12, Caleb.
Mount Orb slowed it down on this possession, the previous possession. It took a quick shot, which led to a long rebound and then transition for Edgewood, which if they limit that, they're going to be in good shape against Edgewood here.
Ashelman inbounding it, gets it into Anderson, who muscles it up and good. He's up to 6 points. It's a 19-point lead with inside 14 minutes to go in the game. Lob inside to Christensen. He's falling into the baseline, turns it over, picked up by Manchester. crosses over, drives baseline, gives it off to Hannah. Hannah loses it. Anderson gets it, and he's fouled on the shot attempt. He'll head to the line to shoot two.
Nice crossover move by Manchester. Shook two defenders, then found the open player. All eyes were on him, which was a great job by his teammates creating open space for themselves.
And that's something we talked about in the pregame, where even if he's not scoring, because of the threat of scoring, Anderson misses the first free throw, that he's still able to lead the team in assists. He also leads the team in rebounds as well. So he does all of those extra things, this Josh Manchester, to help his team win. It isn't just the scoring for him, even though that's the fun part and the exciting part.
And Manchester goes to the bench, and in the first half when that happened, Edgewood went on a run. So hopefully they can put a little bit of a run here together and cut into that lead and create some momentum for themselves.
It's a 20-point lead, 49-29. Mount Horeb leads. West no good on the layup. Christensen gets the rebound, and he's able to get through the triple team and puts it off the glass and good. Drew Christensen, 4 points in this half. He matches his first half number. He's up to 8 now. Nesheim gets double teamed, able to pass out of the trap to Anderson in the near corner. Anderson goes all the way to the baseline. Ball's knocked out of bounds off of Bagstead, and Edgewood stays with Mount Horeb. Max Faust checking in for Timmy West.
Yeah, unfortunate substitution. They had a player at the table for West. He just scored. Hopefully he could get some momentum going, but he goes to the bench to get a breather.
Mount Horeb inbounding it. Anderson on the far corner. Gets it inside to Odgers. Odgers gets it around. Nesheim, a hard screen that time. No whistle. And it's a rebound off of the air ball. Ashelman fires up a three, and that rattles home. Owen Ashelman, his second three of the game. It's a 22-point lead, 52-31. 12:38 to go. Mount Horeb leads Edgewood. Christensen skips it out for Oath. He'll fire up a three. That's off the right iron. Rebound for Odgers underneath. And the Vikings get another stop on defense, leading by 22. Nesheim thought about going baseline, hesitates, now spins, gets it up top to Ashelman. Ashelman over to Anderson, wing three. That one's too strong. Rebound to the Crusaders. Oath quickly ahead. Now Gnawick, and he just got a little too antsy that time and traveled.
His eyes got real big. He saw an open path to the rim and couldn't wait to get there.
And that's the problem when you're struggling to get those consistent scores, where finally, especially for a freshman guard like Gnawick, you finally have an open lane. You want to take advantage of it, but you just get a little too antsy, and he picked up that foot a little too soon.
Edgewood in a zone here, trying to get some trapping action, create a turnover for themselves.
That was something pregame you mentioned they could do to kind of change things up defensively, even though they play a lot of man, and it forced the turnover as the long cross-court pass went off the hand of Ashelman. Timmy West coming back in for Max Faust. Timmy West leads the scoring for Edgewood on the season, averaging 17 points per game, only 5 points here tonight. Edgewood trails by 21, 52-31, 11:38 to go. Christensen tried to go baseline, got cut off, has to pass it back out to Oath. Oath over to Gnawick on the far wing. Now to West on the far corner. West crosses over, dribbles between his legs, and then a whistle. It looked like we had a hand check. And that was on number two, Ethan Morsad.
Correction, 14, Owen Ashelman. His first.
Oh, Owen Ashelman, excuse me. And then off of the inbound, an air ball from Gnawick. Bagstead able to pull it in the near corner. Bagstead spinning inside, has it blocked away by Odgers. He wasn't fooled by the spin at all.
He did everything but give him the Mutombo wave. He was ready for it.
And the student section for Mount Horeb wanted it. You could kind of hear it. They got excited after that block. Steal for Ashelman, and then it's going to be a whistle and a foul on West after he had the ball stripped away. It's the third team foul. Second foul on West on the night. 52-31, 11 minutes to go in the game. Nesheim gets it across the midline. He's being harassed by Oath. Morissard, right wing. Long cross court to Ashelman. Shot fake. Now goes inside. Tried to skip it into Anderson, but it's stolen away by Edgewood. West going quickly out to Gnawick for the three. That's no good. Rebound for the Vikings.
Well, and Horb has this great ability when Edgewood takes a quick shot and they feel the momentum and the pace starting to pick up. They just take a breath. They slow down. They walk the ball up the court and they get into their half court and need some clock.
It's almost like Mount Horeb's an experienced veteran team that's been in situation, almost every situation before, and knows how to handle it. Nesheim for the three off the front iron, rebound Edgewood. Christensen going quickly. Christensen into the low block and lays it in with the right hand. Drew Christensen goes coast to coast. He's got 9 points. And that leads all scorers for Edgewood. Mount Horeb working the perimeter. Lob it out to Nesheim. Inside to Anderson on the near block, and Anderson through some contact lays it in. Still a 21-point lead, 9:40 to go in the game. Mount Horeb on top. Gnawick goes with the shot fake. Now goes inside, and that goes off the bottom of the rim. Can't pick up the rebound, though, and it goes to the Vikings. And again, like you just said, slowing it down now is Mount Horeb after a quick possession from Edgewood. As the Vikings work the perimeter, Odgers off to Ashelman, who fires up a three. It's nothing but net and good for Owen Ashelman. He has 8 points now. West, the hop step and fadeaway jumper is good. That was a nice move by Timmy West that time. And there's a timeout by the Crusaders after that. It's a 22-point lead, 57-35, 8:55 to go in the game. The GRB Academy wants to be a part of your plan to reach your potential. Utilize GRB Academy's 52,000-square-foot facility, 14 batting cages, and 6,000-square-foot weight room. With private instruction, group training programs, travel teams, GRB Academy prides itself on providing the highest level of coaching for the baseball player in your family. Visit GRB Academy for more information. GRB Academy, baseball for the serious player. So, Bill, we've talked a lot about Josh Manchester and all of the great things he does. And something I mentioned in the pregame was trying to talk about Mount Horeb without Josh Manchester. And I don't know about you, but I've been really impressed about with the things that Mount Horeb's been able to do when he's been on the bench. He had a little bit of foul trouble in that first half, and they've still been able to find some good consistent scoring, some good defense, and their offense, while it has missed a little bit of a beat, obviously when you have someone who averages 32 a game, that's going to happen, but they've been doing some really good things when he's been on the bench.
Yeah, Owen Ashelman has really stood out to me, doing great things, making shots when they become available to them, but also defensively creating opportunities for his team, whether it's rebounding or guarding the ball in the perimeter.
And as I talk about the team without Josh Manchester, he just blows past Timmy West and lays it in to a 24-point lead.
And
Josh Manchester, then we talk positively about him. He does something well on offense, gets called for his third foul.
Yeah, he gave up a little bit of baseline drive, and Timmy West got a little bit loose.
Faust fires up a three, no good. Gets his own rebound, though, on the far block. Goes through a double team, passes it off, and then Evan Bridle went up for a shot. He got fouled on the shot attempt. That's on Chris Keel, his fourth foul. No one's heading to the scorer's table yet. I mean, it is shooting two. And, of course, as I say that now, they do have someone heading to the scorer's table, most likely to go in for Chris Keel. The first one is good for Bridal.
A short night for Chris Keel with foul trouble, but he made his impact felt when he was on the court by being really aggressive.
Max Grundahl checks in. Second one is no good for Bridle, so Max Grundel comes in for Chris Keel. Manchester driving inside on West again, goes left hand and good. Josh Manchester up to 22 points. It's a 61-36 lead, 8:10 to go in the game. Faust on the right wing, guarded by Chapman. Now to Oath. Oath's pass to West was knocked away, but West able to pick it up. Shot fake, holds the ball above his head. Starts to his left, nearly loses his dribble, picks it up though. Bridle, shot fake, and then passes it back out to Oath. Inside 8 minutes to go in the game. Crusaders working around the perimeter like they always do on their offense, trying to find that cut down the baseline. Oath on the right wing, guarded by Grundahl. He has his pass knocked away. West is able to pick it up though. Down to 7:30 to go. West crossing over. Kicks out for Oath, who fires up a three. That line drive is no good. Pulled in by the Vikings. Chapman has it. Brings it across the center line from left to right with a right-handed waist-high dribble. Now picks it up. Gives it to Manchester between the circles. Sizes up his man. Drives in. Cradles the ball. Layup's no good. And then it rattles around and goes out of bounds off of Edgewood.
Returning for the Crusaders is number 33.
We'll see what Mount Horeb has said. We haven't seen a lot of baseline out of bounds out of them tonight. But Manchester's been getting a lot of looks the last few possessions. I imagine he'll get one up here.
As he does get the inbound pass on the near corner, step back three. That rattles out no good. Rebound rattling around, goes on the baseline, and it'll stay with the Vikings. That was Christensen who was touching the ball on the baseline. So you'll get to see another baseline inbound. There'll be Chapman inbounding it. Lobs it in for Manchester, gets it inside to McGuire in the middle of the paint, goes off the glass too strong, then the rebound rattles off of a number of hands, but they say it was out off of Edgewood.
Whenever Mount Horeb feels like they need a basket, they go to McGuire, pinning his guy at the front of the rim. It's really interesting to see them go back to that whenever they feel the need of quenching a drought.
And Manchester gets called for the charge. So Manchester gets called for his fourth foul, seventh team foul. So Ashelman's going to come in for Josh Manchester with 6:48 to go, and it's a 61-36 lead for Mount Horeb. Bill, do you think we've seen the end of Josh Manchester's night with four fouls?
Absolutely, and there's no need for him to play anymore this evening, so that he can get some of these other Mount Horeb Vikings some experience if need be, where they're in a situation in the future where maybe he is in foul trouble for a longer portion of the game, or, heaven forbid, an injury occurs and you need some of the other maybe younger players to be able to step up.
Bridle fires up a three. It's nothing but net and good for Evan Bridle. 4 second half points. 5 points on the night for Bridle. 61-39. Chapman gives to McGuire. McGuire back out to Chapman. Left of the point. Fires up the three. The bank is open at 8:30 at night here in Edgewood.
Online banking never closes, Hunter. It's a new day and age.
I should have known that. You know, UW Credit Union's a sponsor. They're a partner of ours. What was I thinking? Of course, online banking. And then a jump ball called the other way.
And the man pressure out of Edgewood here, trying to create something easy.
Jump ball goes to Mount Horeb. Ashelman gives the Chapman between the circles. Gives it to McGuire on the near corner. Skips it in to Chapman on the low block. Out to Ashelman. Far corner. Fires up the three. And it's good.
Owen Ashelman
with another three. 10 points on the night. Or excuse me, 12 points on the night for Ashelman.
And he has not missed. He's perfect from the floor.
Checking in for the Crusaders is number 21, Will Hannon.
You start to see the Vikings empty the bench a little bit here, slowly but surely. Maybe one guy at a time every dead ball to get some of the younger players some minutes. kind of really going to test your name knowledge, Hunter.
Yeah, that's why I pulled out the full roster that I have, not just the key players, to make sure I'm getting the correct names here. Easy one, though, is Edgewood has the ball. It's Timmy West, the starting point guard, so far so good. As we've got a three fired up from Will Hanna off the bench for the Crusaders. Mount Horeb now with it. Ashelman on the far elbow. Gives it off to Grundahl. Hands it off to Hanna. Hanna inside. McGuire kicks it out. Back to McGuire on the far corner. McGuire skips inside for Hanna. Hanna rattles it home and good on the layup.
Hanna stayed in that left short corner area for most of the possession. It finally paid off as his man lost vision. He's able to get the dump off.
69-42 with 4:10 to go. Timmy West, a mid-range jumper, is no good. Rebound pulled in by the Vikings. We're down to 4 minutes to go in the game. Mount Horeb leading 69-42. Hanna driving inside through some contact. Isn't able to convert the layup, but Timmy West,
Timmy West
picks up his third foul.
Fourth team
foul.
Number 21, Hanna, 2-2.
Griffin Hanna at the line. Hannah's got 10 points. It's going to stay at 10 points as that's off the back iron. No good.
Now, does he want to stay in the game? Is he going to miss this on perfect so he can get some more minutes? Or does he make it and allow his teammate to come in? We'll see.
What would you do if you were in Hannah's spot?
I'm gonna let my teammate play, but I'm also going to get the point.
Hanna on the second one. High arcing free throw is good.
What a guy, that Griffin Hanna.
Great teammate. Making the free throw so he can head to the bench with a 70-42 lead. Edgewood working the perimeter. Christensen gives it off to Bridle. Bridle with the floater is no good. Rebound pulled in by Anderson and the Vikings. Leading by 28. A quick three is an air ball. Rebound grabbed by Edgewood. Going quickly is Christensen. He'll pull up from a mid-range jumper from 17. And nothing but net for Drew Christensen.
We're not going to get another banking reference?
No, because online banking's open. And I was just like, okay, fine. He banked it in. Great. You can bank anytime online with the UW Credit Union app. It's a great app. I have it on my phone. Timmy West, the Euro step off of the steal. 6 second half points for Timmy West. 9 points on the night for the Crusaders point guard. 70-46 inside 3 minutes to go. Mount Horeb leads Edgewood. They just work the perimeter. Ashelman on the far corner. Now Anderson.
And Edgewood not really applying a ton of pressure, just looking to contain at this point. And Mount Horeb looking to take what they're given.
Odgers traveling down low. Turnover.
Checking in for
so it'll be Edgewood's ball after a couple of substitutions. For over 50 years, Zimbrick Honda's provided the Madison area with quality Honda vehicles. The trusted staff of Zimbrick Honda's used car dealership will save you time and reduce your car buying stress by finding the vehicle that matches your style. If you're in the market for a new Honda or a used Honda, visit Zimbrick Honda in Madison today or online on ZimbrickHonda.com.
Evan Bridle turning on the scoring here in the second half. He hit a three-pointer and just got a great backdoor cut for a layup. But since he's moved out of that high post position, he's expanded his game a little bit.
So he's now got 6 points in the second half. Mount Horeb working the ball around. Finley, no good. Rebound pulled in as we're inside 2 minutes by Edgewood. 70-48, Mount Horeb leads. Faust. Now to Christensen up top. Tried to go inside, nearly had the ball stripped away. Gives it back off to Fouls. Christensen, deep three. That one's too strong. Long rebound pulled in by the Vikings. Down 90 seconds to go.
A substitution timeout by Coach Todd Ness. Time to get some of these younger players in the game.
30-second timeout.
So with that timeout, 90 seconds to go in the game. 70-48 is our score. With Mount Horeb on top of Edgewood. Prep Mania's video stream is sponsored by Pemberton Personal Injury. When life takes an unexpected turn, turn to Pemberton Personal Injury Law Firm. Pemberton's client-centered approach ensures that you're treated with respect, care, and compassion. Never just another case. With offices in Madison and Baraboo, Pemberton has the experience to secure the justice and compensation you deserve. Serving clients statewide, there's no fee until you win. Trust a firm that treats you like family. Visit Pemberton Personal Injury Law at PembertonPI.com. 70-48, Mount Horeb leads Edgewood.
And the Mount Horeb student section is still into it. And Hunter, I need to get your take on the best jersey, as it's jersey theme night here. I have my pick, but I need to know where you're going with the Mount Horeb student section.
From my vantage point, I'm seeing a Saints Michael Thomas jersey. There's a Rowdy Tellez jersey. That's the winner. Brewers Rowdy Tellez.
How do you feel about a football jersey at a basketball game, though?
Well, when it's jersey night, like, not everybody's got a basketball jersey. So I kind of am okay with it, especially if it's a random deep cut. Not really deep cut, but a random pull, like a Michael Thomas. But we've got a Rowdy Tellez shirt also that I can see, and I think that's my winner. What about you?
I got to go with the one right in front of me, the Chris Paul Phoenix Suns jersey. Just a great jersey, the purple and gold.
It is a great jersey, and then there's a great steal for Edgewood. That was Will Hanna. Can't convert on the fast break layup, though. Yeah, and I like the Chris Paul jersey, but there's just, because the Bucks played the Phoenix Suns in the final, like, there's just a little bit where I'm just like, I know they beat them, but I'm just like, I don't really like Phoenix.
Yeah.
I had to deal with them in the finals.
We got the Valley Oop, one of the greatest steal the transitions of all time.
Yeah, and Chris Paul also tried to hurt Giannis, so I'm going to hang on to that grudge. Inside 30 seconds to go, 70-48 our score. Mount Horeb on top of Edgewood. Mount Horeb will advance to 8-0 on the year. Looks like they'll just pass the ball around, run down the clock. The steal attempt from Hanna, unable to get it. So we're down to 2 seconds, and that will do it. 70-48, our final score in this one. Mount Horeb Vikings undefeated, 8-0 on the year. The Edgewood Crusaders falling to 2-6 on the season. Bill, what are your thoughts on what you've seen from both of these teams here tonight? You know, personally, I'm a fan of the things that Edgewood does. They're just, like we talked about pregame and throughout this, they're just such a young team. They've just got a lot of maturing and basketball maturing to do yet.
They made some good adjustments in the second half as far as their offensive execution, moving their players into different positions. So they'll be able to expand on that and grow throughout the season. And as far as Mount Horeb is concerned, they had everybody contribute. I talked about Owen Ashelman off the bench and hitting shots. And so when you have the depth that they have, it's always going to be somebody, even if someone's having an off night. And yeah, Manchester was underneath his average, but everybody else did enough to help them get the win, and they did enough to secure the victory tonight.
70-48, the final score. The Mount Horeb Vikings taking down the Edgewood Crusaders here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. Zimbrick Honda's been a proud part of the Madison community since 1973. They are your one-stop shop for over 250 new Hondas to choose from. Whether you're looking for a sedan, an SUV, or a truck, their selection of new vehicles is second to none and has exactly what you're looking for. Stop in today at their location on Fish Hatchery Road to check out all the new 2024 Honda Prologue, Honda's first all-electric SUV, or browse their car selection online at ZimbrickHonda.com. That's ZimbrickHonda.com. Shop local. Shop Zimbrick Honda. When we'll come back, we'll wrap things up and give our Zimbrick Honda keys to victory. And this one, again, 70-48, our final score. Mount Horeb takes down the Edgewood Crusaders on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison.
Yeah, it's just like the ocean under the moon. It's the same as the emotion that I get from you.
70-48, our final score here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. I'm Hunter Vaughn. Here with me, Bill Kegler. And Bill, what were the Zimbrick Honda keys to victory for the Mount Horeb Vikings this evening?
Yeah, Mount Horeb took open shots when they had them. They were able to control the drives of Edgewood. Whenever they would get able to get loose on the baseline, they would take away with an extra player coming over from the weak side. And then any pressure that Edgewood applied, they were able to pass through and get layups. So making their open shots was critically important to them, and it led them to a big victory tonight.
The Mount Horeb Vikings improving to 8-0 now on the year, and those were your Zimbrick Honda keys to victory tonight in this one. For over 50 years, Zimbrick Honda has provided the Madison area with quality Honda vehicles. The trusted staff of Zimbrick Honda's used car dealership will save you time and reduce your car buying stress by finding the vehicle that matches your style. If you're in the market for a new Honda or a used Honda, visit Zimbrick Honda in Madison today or online at ZimbrickHonda.com. So as we look ahead for both of these teams, we'll start with the Edgewood Crusaders here. Bill, you know, I mentioned in the pregame for this one, they had the 8-point loss to Lakeside Lutheran, and then they fall 70-48 here to Mount Horeb. They still have another two tough games here where they're at home against Stoughton on Thursday night, a very good Stoughton team, a team that lost in the sectional finals to Pewaukee last year, and then they follow that up with another tough game as they take on Lake Mills. So, like you said, there's a lot of maturing that can happen from this team when you've got these four gauntlet of games here early on in January.
Yeah, they just need to keep a positive outlook. If they're going to lose some games, that's fine. And what positive things can you draw? So are there mini games within the game where you can win a four-minute span of the game and build upon that? Are there certain statistical aspects that you can win in a game, whether it's having less turnovers than the other team, getting to the free throw line more than the other game? Whatever you want to emphasize, what small victories can you get within those games? And then, like we talked about pregame, be playing better in March so that way you have a better end of the season than you are in the middle of the season.
Throw it, nail it, celebrate. Check out the buzz at Madison Axe, your state-of-the-art entertainment spot with 8 lanes of axe throwing, interactive games, plus digital target projection and scoring. For even more fun, check out their indoor backyard, 2,000 square feet of shuffleboard, cornhole, yard games, and more. Perfect for a night out with the family or parties. Madison Axe is your destination for all things fun. Go to MadisonAxe.com or head to their location on Stoughton Road today. Bill, we had our holiday party there a few weeks back. Found out at Madison Axe, one of the things you can do if there's somebody that has been maybe driving you a little bit crazy in your life, you can upload their picture and throw axes at them. So I may have thrown an axe at Alex Strofe's face a few times. May or may not have been the best throwing that I did all night.
It's funny what a little bit of motivation will do, and Strofe can bring that out in people very easily.
Oh, he absolutely can. I produce for him regularly on the Mr. Irrelevant podcast, which, by the way, you can watch every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12:30 on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Very well-produced program, I might say. So, yes, I definitely know that firsthand, but Madison Axe, an absolute blast of a place. You know, we just looked ahead at the schedule here for Edgewood, and then looking ahead for this undefeated 8-0 Mount Horeb squad. They already beat Stoughton, like I said, back in December, and then they won against Lake Mills in the 608 basketball tournament. So for them, with this Badger small conference, you know, they've got another road game coming up at the end of January at Stoughton, but not a whole lot of real tests for them throughout the rest of this regular season. So are you at all worried about them maybe kind of losing some of that focus and that edge if you aren't being tested every single night and have expecting guys like Chris Keel and Josh Manchester to have to go a full game if they're able to rest their guys in the second half of a lot of these games?
No, because they have enough depth where every day in practice they're getting a great rep in to test each other. And with that, the game I'm really looking forward to, and I hope I can attend, is the Caledonia game at the Midwest Players Classic in La Crosse. A great event that is put on up there every year. And Caledonia, Minnesota, for those of you who are not familiar, has just been a juggernaut of basketball for a year. Brad King is the coach there, and he's had three sons who all played high-level basketball. And when I was at Just a Game prior to that, they were all little tykes, and I was able to watch them grow up. So just a great basketball family. So that will be a great test for them because they are going to play really hard, and they are going to be very physical with Mount Horeb. So that'll be a fun test.
So I'm going to be honest. You said, for those that don't know, I thought that was Caledonia, like the Caledonia by Racine. And I was like, my mother-in-law lives there. I didn't know there was a high school in Caledonia. I had no idea it wasn't even in the same state. So there you go. You taught me that, at least, that, oh, Caledonia, Minnesota is the program that they'll be taking on that game. Like you mentioned, over in La Crosse, that's on Saturday, January 18th. Up next for Mount Horeb is a home matchup against Sauk Prairie on Monday night, followed by a road game that Thursday then at McFarland. Again, 70-48, our final score. The Mount Horeb Vikings taking down the Edgewood Crusaders tonight. Stoughton Health provides trusted care close to home. They're proud to support all of the area's student-athletes and wish them all the best this season, from rehab to ortho care. Stoughton Health provides comfort and convenience locally. Visit stoughtonhealth.com to learn more. Bill, before we send things back to the Everlight Solar Studios, any final thoughts on this game from what you've seen? You've seen Josh Manchester now play a couple of times for Mount Horeb. What are your final thoughts on tonight?
I'm excited to see Mount Horeb in the postseason, like you talked about, them continuing to be able to test themselves to be ready for March or February in the high school season for the most part. And they had that last year in the postseason with some highly contested games. So can they get over the hump? Is their depth able to help them through some situations where other teams may not be as deep? And hopefully they can make a run to the Kohl Center.
It would be great to see some local teams getting to the Kohl Center indeed. For Bill Kegler, I'm Hunter Vaughn. Want to say thank you to our audio producer back at the Everlight Solar Studios, Riley Yauch, as well as our video producer, Pablo Iglesias, for both of them getting us on the air and on the stream tonight. Thank you, gentlemen. Again, final score, 70-48. Mount Horeb taking down Edgewood. This has been Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison.